spirit possession and exorcism. Exorcism is a part of many religious and cultural traditions, but not in Buddhism. Buddha has prohibited monks practicing exorcism. So now, you might ask the question, if Buddha did not teach exorcist practices, and if Buddha prohibited monks practicing exorcism, what do the Buddhist monks do when the followers come to them and ask the help in the cases of spirit possessions? So this is the question that we are going to answer here in this talk. But before we answer this question, let's understand a little bit further. Who are these spirits? The believing in existence of spirits is not totally Buddhistic. In all the religions, they believe that there are beings who exist with subtler bodies. So those living beings exist without a physical body, but with astral body, and they all are given one label called spirit. The word spirit include not one type of beings, but many types of beings. Those beings with subtler bodies. They can be angels, they can be divine beings, they can be ghosts or any other label that you give. Generally speaking, in all the religions, it is believed that some of these spirits are good ones. Some others are bad ones, evil-minded. While some spirits are powerful, others are weak. That is the popular belief. Well, Buddhists also has the similar belief. Now the question may ask, why do these spirits possess human beings? Again, according to the popular religious belief, a spirit possesses a human body because that spirit wants to use that body to do something that spirit wants to do. Because spirits do not have physical bodies. So they will possess a body of a human being to do what that particular spirit wants to do. It is also believed that a spirit possesses a human being with goodwill to help, using one human body that spirit can help the other human beings. It is also believed that spirit can possess a body of another human being out of anger, to take revenge, to do some harm. So these are the popular belief about the spirits and spirit possessions. These are not mentioned in the suttas the way that I explain. These are popular religious belief which is common to all the religions. And the Buddhists also believe in it. Buddha has not mentioned these ways which I explain. But of course, in the Buddhist teaching, we believe and accept the existence of the beings with subtle level astral bodies. Got it? Now, what do the other religions teach? According to many other religions, as I said, exorcism is a must a major part of that religion. Hinduism, we have Vedas. Vedas are the spiritual scriptures that goes back to 1000 BC. Vedas are composed around 1000 BC. In Veda textbooks, it is mentioned about the spirits, these evil beings who interfere the work of the Hindu gods. And it is also mentioned that these evil beings possess the human beings and harm them. There is one Veda, which is the fourth scriptural book of the Hindu teaching, which is Atharva Veda. In this book, it is very clearly explained the process of exorcism and secret related to exorcist practice. What about the Christianity? As many of you have heard or read or known, Jesus Christ was the premier exorcist in his time. 1/4 of his healings are related to exorcism. The ability to cast out the spirit from a possessed person is the sign or mark of the true discipleship among apostles. What about Judaism? In Judaism, we have records going back to 1st century AD. And they recognize spirits called dibuk, a kind of evil spirit that enter the human body and use the human body to do what they want. Basically, control the behavior of the human body. So like these major religions, there are other religious traditions too. I'm not going to elaborate all. It is a popular belief that existence of the spirit and they can possess the human beings. And not only that, these major religions, they teach how to practice necessary religious rites and rituals and ceremonies to exorcist, to cast out these evil beings from the human body. What do the scientists say, especially the psychologists today? What do they say? According to scientific and psychological discoveries, spirit possessions are created by negative mental conditions. And they point out prolonged fatigue and negative emotions like hatred, ill will, jealousy, anger, such kind of emotions, and also stress, tension, depression, such kind of mental conditions create the spirit possession. That is what the psychologists say. And they specifically pointed out multiple personality disorder and schizophrenia, these two are closely associated with spirit possessions. Multiple personality disorder, this is a psychological condition that they recognize that the person can display different personalities in different times, sometimes even different gender, different intellectual level. So through their different personalities. The schizophrenia is a condition that someone live in an inner world that hallucinate and speculate that he or she can plant the thoughts in the head of another human being, or they can detect the thoughts of the others, or other people can plant the thoughts into their head, such kind of situation. So these are recognized by psychologists, not spirit possessions, but psychological issues or mental diseases. Now, since Buddha did not teach exorcism, and also since Buddha prohibited monks practicing exorcism, and since we do not have any of these teachings in the Dhamma, how do the Buddhist monks deal with such kind of cases? What do the Buddhist monks do when a devotee come and say that so and so is possessed by spirit, Bhante, please help? What do you think? We do have a way to help the people. Even though we do not practice exorcism, we have a better option. More scientific, more logical. What do we do usually? When the monks were approached by the people saying that someone is possessed by spirit, we have a way to test it. We have a way to ask questions, re-questions, we have ways of analyzing. We use a lot of skillful means to see clearly whether it is really a spirit possession or whether it is a mental disease or psychological case. And there are occasions that we recognize this is nothing to do with the spirit possession, but it is a mental disease. And this person need to see a psychologist, a doctor. And this person is beyond our help. If it is the case, that monk or nun will straightforwardly tell you that this person must be taken to IMH. But there are also cases which is not a spirit possession but psychological cases, mental diseases, but we can help. We can help spiritually. If that monk or a nun were to understand this is a psychological issue but we can cure this person through the Dhamma, then we will proceed. Or there can be some genuine cases also which is related to spirit possession. In that case also, if that monk or a nun think that he or she is able or capable of help the person spiritually, then we will do that. Generally speaking, there are ways, methods that we adopt. Case by case, things we do are different. But Buddhist monks, whatever the actions that they are going to take, they are going to do them according to the Dhamma and Vinaya. As I said, exorcism is prohibited by the Buddha. So the only way that we can use it is the Dhamma way. In these kind of cases, what we do, first of all, we do paritta chanting. Because we recognize whether it is a psychological disease or mental disease or whether it is a spirit possession, both are conditioned by human mind. Because as we understand, not a single spirit can possess your mind as long as your mind is strong, as long as you are powerful, as long as you have a positive mind, constructive mind, as long as you have an energized mind spiritually, no one can possess you, only yourself. But on the other hand, the mental diseases also come into existence as the psychologists also point out, it is because of the negativity of the mind. So what do the Buddhist monks do? We change the mind of this patient to become positive, wholesome. And the only way to do this is the Dhamma way. So we use paritta chanting. Paritta chanting is major part of it. Sometimes we do the paritta chanting one time, or sometimes it can be few times, it can be once a week, or it can be even once a month, depending on the different individuals. The way that we recommend it to be done are different. Basically, through paritta chanting, we produce sound energy. When a person listens to the paritas, his or her mind become calm, serene, peaceful, positive, established in positive condition, and then wholesome states arise. Respect towards the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha arise in the mind. So basically, through listening to the paritas, our mind become energized with positive energy. Secondly, the monks who do this, they of course based on the spiritual cultivation and they uphold righteous principle, and at the end of the paritta chanting they also make the wish, with the power of the spiritual practices that I do, may you be well and happy. And this is generating power of the virtue. The monks also, having done the paritta chanting, they exercise the power of the truth, saying that these words are said by the Buddha with the power of these wholesome words, with the power of the Dhamma, may you be well and happy. In this way, through the paritta chanting, we change the mindset of the person. Second thing that we do is Dhamma counseling. We talk to the person directly. We talk to the person face to face and try to understand what has caused this person to have this negative mindset, which create the condition either for a spirit to possess or create mental disease. So when we understand the nature of the mind of this person, what is the root of the problem, then through Dhamma counseling, we give some Dhamma to this person, we teach the Dhamma, and we do the counseling which uplifts the mind. And to maintain this level of the positivity of the mind, then we might teach the person, depend on his ability, either to do some form of simple chanting, reflect the virtue of the Buddha, Itipiso Bhagava, or some other chanting, or some other suttas, protective verses, or we might teach the person some form of meditation. Depend on case by case, we will teach different meditations. Through the meditation practice and chanting practice for Dhamma reflection, that person might maintain the positivity of the mind. And eventually, then we also create meritorious deeds and we share the merits with the departed beings and spirits. We do not chase them away. We do not practice exorcism here. But what we do, we create favorable, we create harmonious, peaceful environment, and we create the mental condition to be such that the negativity disappears from the mind of the patient. He becomes luminous and powerful and energetic. All the spirits and all the mental diseases disappear. And furthermore, we will encourage such people to come into the path of the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. Eventually, I encourage them to come to Sunday class. How many of you? And I encourage them to go to other Dhamma classes and practice Dhamma. So eventually, it is the Dhamma that cure all the mental diseases. Dhamma is the medicine. Ordinary human beings, as long as we have defilements, we are sick. Dhamma is the medicine that leads us to perfect cure, which is the enlightenment. So eventually, what Buddhist monks do, we use the Dhamma to cure the people, their mental diseases. Whether they are mental diseases or whether they are spiritual possessions, then when we practice in this way, if the patient were to follow our instructions, definitely they will get rid of it. But there might be some cases which is really need the help of the doctors, because these kind of diseases cured through some chemical imbalance of the brain or some other physical conditions. And such cases, of course, beyond of our control, and then they need to go and see the doctors. So first of all, first thing we do, we make sure and we try our best to recognize whether it is a mental disease that need the consultation from a doctor, or whether it is a mental disease that we can help through spiritually, or whether it is related to a genuine spirit position, and then whether we can help in a Dhamma way and through sharing the merits and through meritorious actions and meditation, whether we can change the mind of the person so the spirit cannot possess anymore. So this is what we do, and do not misunderstand that Buddhist monks practice exorcism. There might be some who are practicing exorcism. If it is so, they are not practicing the teachings of the Buddha. They are practicing something else. So we should not misinterpret the genuine, real Buddhist practices to be exorcism. So there is no exorcism in Buddhist teaching. Buddhist monks are prohibited to practice exorcism.